following programs, views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock today on this snowy Northeast Ohio Friday afternoon. I don't think we're going to get the blizzard that's going to hit the East Coast up in New England and all, but it's snowing up here in the area. It is getting a little slippery in some spots. Just be careful if you're out driving around. Keep your hands on the wheels and listen to us on the radio. That's, I guess, the best thing to do. But let's go ahead and get started with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray that you would bless now. Watch over us, Lord. Watch over those driving today. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the air once more. We do pray the things we talk about today, that you would use them, point people to Christ, and encourage people to have a greater faith and understanding of the Bible. We just pray that you would just bless the program today for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to get started here today and let you know that we're not going to be using the phone today. If you were wanting to call in, you'll have to wait till next week or call our Sunday night program. Of course, we're on Sunday nights here on AM 1220 The Word at 11 o'clock till midnight each Sunday night as well. But today, we're not going to have the phone call because we're not going to have time. I have a special guest with us today, Dr. Douglas Stauffer, and he is the author of a book, One Book Stands Alone, which I have recommended to a number of people. Excellent book on the King James Bible. But he's come out with a new book, twice the size, called One Book, One Authority. And we have Dr. Stauffer with us on the air today. And Dr. Stauffer, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good to be there in Ohio with you, Al.
Well, welcome to, and glad to have you on. I have enjoyed your materials. I've read some of your other books as well, and some of your videos and things that you have at your website, BibleDoug.com. And I just want to recommend your work to somebody who's interested in this subject area. And we're going to get started here, and well, let's see. I guess probably the best way to get started here today, give a little information about yourself. I'm kind of partial. You're an Air Force veteran, so I'm kind of partial to that being one myself. But let me ask you this. How did you come to write not only One Book Stands Alone, but this new book, One Book, One Authority?
Well, I actually wrote the new book for the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible.
Mm-hmm. That was last year, of course.
Right, 1611 to 2011.
Actually, two years ago. Sorry.
Oh, that's right. We're in 2013.
Yeah, I forgot myself.
I did too. But I came out with it in 2012 just because of my travel schedule. I wasn't able to get it finished on time, but that was what the impetus was behind it. And then from there, the book is, 888 pages, and I tried to split it into two volumes, but everything was leading to keeping it all together in one large volume so that people could have just a multitude of information at their fingertips. It has a Bible dictionary. It has the sayings from the King James Bible that are unique and we still even use today. Has a list of all the translations by name over the last 200 years, along with a history of King James, the man, history of the translators, and it goes on and on and on. But one of the first things that I do in the book is I prove that the English Bible is God-ordained for these last days. Mm-hmm. And then having done that, and I use the scripture to do that, and that's probably one of the most interesting. It's just chapter 1 and 2, but one of the most interesting things that I like. I like to go as I travel, and I preach about that very subject, showing that the English Bible is, people look at the Greek and they look at the Hebrew and maybe even the Latin or the Syriac languages, And they say, well, you know, God used those languages, and that's where the Word of God, you know, consists. And what I do is I prove that today, by using the book of Isaiah as our guide, it shows that the English Bible is the one that God is using in these days, not just the Greek and not necessarily the Greek and the Hebrew. And that just amazes people as I go in there. And you know, I'll develop it a little bit further. I don't want to completely dominate all the time, but I use Isaiah to do that. Isaiah has 66 chapters in it. There's 66 books in the King James Bible. There are, when you look at chapter 1, it matches Genesis, talks about heaven and earth. Chapter 66 matches Revelation, the new heaven and new earth. Chapter 40, which is the 40th book of the Bible, is Matthew. In Isaiah 40, it talks about one crying in the wilderness, matching the book of Matthew. And every chapter in Isaiah matches a book of the Bible. And what makes this really interesting is when you go to the Tanakh, which is the Hebrew Bible,
mm-hmm.
you don't have 39 books in there. They combine books like the Book of 12
right.
or 12 Minor Prophets. So the only way you have this picture of the Bible in the Bible, the 66 books, is with an English Bible. And then one further point just on this point is what makes it even more interesting is the chapter divisions did not even happen in the Old Testament until 1445 and the New Testament until 1555. So you have this picture of the Bible in the Bible that didn't even exist prior to 1445. And, you know, so it's God ordained. It's an amazing thing that God put in the Bible to give us a proof within itself that we have all of the Word of God available to us. And it's the English Bible that proves that, not the Greek and the Hebrew.
Well, and what you pointed out, you know, I firmly believe that when God does something, he puts his signature on it some way, somehow. And, you know, I think even back in the 1400s, God knew, you know, because he knows the future from the past, that English would become the world language, which it is today, right?
It is, and I think that's exactly what God did.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some that say, well, the the Catholic Church gave us the Bible, the books of the Bible, the canon of Scripture.
Right. And actually, that was going to be my next question that I wanted to get into, because I get this asked every once in a while, because generally what we do on our program here, Live with Pastor Al, is kind of a question and answer program with callers calling in with questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And periodically, I'll get this brought up. Didn't the Catholic Church determine what's in the Bible? Didn't they give us the Bible?
And how you can answer that very easily is the fact that the Catholic Church adds the Apocrypha
right.
to the canon of Scripture. Well, when you do that, you don't have 66 books like you do with the picture in Isaiah. So that picture in Isaiah only works with a non-Catholic English Bible, which is which wasn't given to us
right.
by the councils of the Catholic Church. It was the canon of Scripture was determined by God, and what the what any council might ever have done is reaffirmed what God was doing, but they never were the ones that determined which were the books of the Bible, because if they did, then we would have the Apocrypha as inspired and is the canon of Scripture, and that picture of Isaiah wouldn't even work in that case, when
right.
in fact it does.
And yeah, I do think that's a tremendous illustration of that point, because I will get asked every once in a while about the Apocrypha, and that's probably a good thing to touch on, too, talking about the King James Bible. Recently on one of our programs, I had the question asked, well, why did the King James have the Apocrypha in you know, the original King James, you know, when they first printed it? And maybe you could address that real quick as to why
sure.
there and now it's not.
And the reason that they did is because it was required by law. So you could either put it in there like they did, but they also made it very clear that the Apocrypha in between the Old and the New Testament was not part of the canon of Scripture.
Right.
Whereas with the Catholic Church, they include the Apocrypha intermixed, interwoven in the true books of the Bible, and therefore they say it's part of the canon of Scripture. That's the difference. Catholic Church says it's part of the canon. The King James translators were just abiding by the law required at that time by penalty if they didn't, which they couldn't even have printed it. No printer would print a Bible in 1611 and thereafter for at least 40 years without including the Apocrypha, though there was one version of the King James within that 40 years that did not contain the Apocrypha. But it was because it was required by law. That's why they put it in there, but they made it very clear that it was not part of the canon of Scripture.
Right, and I appreciate that information because, I've always kind of looked at it. I didn't realize the law portion of it, but I know that a lot of times some of these early Bibles, when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England, and actually just south of Bedford, England, where John Bunyan was, and I picked up a couple of old Bibles that were published back in the mid-1800s while I was there. And I noticed that a lot of these older Bibles have a ton of extra stuff in other than just the text of the Scripture. So I've always kind of thought of it as maybe they put that in there, as a historical type thing. But I'm glad to get that information on the legal requirement of it at the time. That clears things up for me as well. So I appreciate that.
They did put it in there for historical purposes. That was the reason why the Apocrypha was included also.
Right.
It was in there as is, like the feast days or the quote-unquote holy days.
Mm-hmm.
Those were also just standard Church of England, Anglican holy days is what they called them. And people say, well, wait a minute, there's one in there about Mary, and there's one about this and one about that. Well, first of all generations shall call Mary blessed just because
Right. She's
been, abused. And when I say abused, I mean, elevated to a position almost of deity. Doesn't mean that you should and that we should ignore her. Now, those days were put in there. Now, the thing that I always point out is, isn't it amazing that these Anglicans who did not, who were not premillennial, come out with a Bible that was
right?
In my book, I have the book. I have Isaiah, and I go in there and look at the divisions in the chapters, and I put the headings in there, and they attribute Isaiah to in their chapter divisions to the church, and they believed in replacement theology. Well, the Bible is not a replacement theology book. So here you've got Anglicans who believed one thing but wrote another because God led in the process of that translation into English, and they were honest in the translation. That's why you have the italics, too. You have italics because they were honest. They believed that if it was not in the Greek, that they would put it in italics, and even if it went against the doctrine of their church. That's what I call honesty, and that's why you can trust the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is something that is translated correctly, accurately, from the right text. And whenever there's a difference between the two, it's put in italics. And one of the other things I point out is 1 John 2:24. If you look there, and this is like in the book also, but in my One Book, One Authority. But most of that is italicized. And it's not because it was understood and added for clarity. It's because it wasn't in the Greek text that they used to translate into English. It was probably in the Latin text. But when they put 1 John 2:24 in there and they continued it out in italics, they did that because it was part of the original canon of Scripture. Since 1611, they have found two Greek manuscripts that include that portion that's in italics, proving that the translation from the Textus Receptus or from the received text at that time was correct. So, when you start looking at things like that, it just amazes me when people want to point to the translators and say, well, they were Anglicans and therefore they couldn't come up with the truth. Well, they were honest. They were holy. They were godly men that believed in translating honestly. Not like we have today.
Right, and I'd like to explore that a little bit here in just a moment. But again, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al here on AM 1220 The Word, and we're talking with Dr. Douglas Stauffer, and he has come out with a new book, One Authority, and it's an excellent book looking at the history of the King James Bible and how we come to get it, and a good defense of it. And that's something I want to look at a little bit here as well, Dr. Stauffer, because I remember hearing one time, very familiar with J. Vernon McGee. He's with the Lord now, but for a long time, and a lot of radio stations around the country still carry his materials, even this station does. And I remember one time he was asked a question about the King James Bible. And we've been talking about English Bibles versus the King James Bible, and he was asked what one he used. He said he used the King James only, though not for exactly the same reasons that you do, but he was asked about the translation, or he addressed the issue of the translation, I should say, and he said that he taught Hebrew and Greek in seminary, and he didn't consider himself as good as the King James translators. He didn't feel qualified to make a new translation. And then he said something that's always stuck with me. He said that I had a number of the people who were responsible for these new versions of the Bible in English in my seminary classes, you know, for Hebrew and Greek. And he said, quite frankly, they weren't that good. I mean, that's a pretty good statement on the people who have put together the modern versions versus the King James translators. And what sets apart the King James translators, say, you know, other than Dr. Vernon McGee's comment that the modern translators weren't that good because they were his students, they didn't do so good?
Well, I mean, they are set apart in that I think at that time, God was bringing together a special group of men to translate one final translation into the English language. I have two chapters on the translator biographies, chapter 31 and 32 in the book. And what people don't realize, there were 54 of them chosen. And of those chosen to do the task, four of them were college presidents, six were bishops, five were deans, and I bishops of the Anglican Church, five right. were deans, 30 held PhDs, 39 held master's degrees, 41 were university professors, 13 were masters of the Hebrew language, and 10 of them had mastered Greek. Now, when we say masters, we're not talking about some schoolboy Greek that you learn in first, second, and third year Greek classes. These guys, some of them, could read and write fluently in those languages when they were yet teens.
Right.
You couldn't get into Cambridge or Oxford unless you were, you know, you had Latin and many languages under your belt. You know, there's even one of them that was referred to and said, you know, if he was there because he knew so many different languages, he would have been an interpreter there at the Tower of Babel. He was so good in the languages. So, you know, that's what we've got with the translators. You go through, and I've got a list of each one. I just put a couple of paragraphs, sometimes just a paragraph on each translator, but their biographies are just phenomenal, and we've got nothing like that today. In fact, most of the modern versions that are out there are all controlled by one man, and he is Rupert Murdoch. Most people don't know that, but he owns Zondervan. He owns Thomas Nelson. He owns the majority of the translations. 70% of the modern translations are controlled by Rupert Murdoch's companies.
Now, and that brings up a good question I was going to ask is, and this would relate to that, you know, who is behind the modern versions? If the King James, and I believe the King James Bible is God's word preserved, you know, in the English language, and that's what I use, but we have this, seems like every year a new version comes out in the English language. Who is behind all this, or maybe I should say, what's the motive behind all of this? You talked about Rupert Murdoch, but maybe you'd like to explore that a little bit more.
Well, I can expound on it in two different ways. One would be to say, well, I could quote James White, Mm-hmm. James White is the guy that wrote the King James Only Controversy, very terrible
right.
book.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the internet not long ago and put a number of videos out there. But on the video that I have a copy of, he said this. He said, Zondervan has, I think they've got the New King James or the NIV or whichever one it is. Thomas Nelson has the New King James, and Crossway has the ESV. He says, let me tell you why there's so many modern versions. This guy is not a King James Bible believer. And he said, the reason that publishers are publishing these modern versions is for money. And that is why he said it. And I agree with him, finally, you know, on something.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too, because every time one comes out, they're copywritten, and a whole slew of new study materials and concordances and all that comes out.
There's a lot of money. And these corporations have stockholders, and those stockholders, you can't tell them, well, you know, we're going to lose money on this project because we're more concerned with getting the truth out. No, they've got to make money, and they have to do that as corporate entities. Well, the interesting thing, I mentioned Murdoch. Now, Murdoch owns Zondervan. Zondervan is owned by HarperCollins. HarperCollins also owns Avon Publishers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Avon Publishers publishes the Satanic Bible. So HarperCollins owns both of those. Zondervan, Avon Publishers, publishes the modern versions and publishes the Satanic Bible. So who's behind it? Well, if you look at Lucifer and you try to find him in the modern versions, he's completely missing. And you have in there, you have the Morning Star in the NIV, in the New American Standard. You have the Day Star in the ESV. The Morning Star and the Day Star are both titles for Jesus Christ. So therefore, in these modern versions, you've got Lucifer being replaced with Jesus Christ. He's Jesus Christ, the one that fell from heaven, according to the modern versions. And I've got all that documented in one book, Stands Alone. I also delve into it a bit in the new book, in the One Book, One Authority. So, you know, when you say who's behind it, yeah, you've got Murdoch, he's just a pawn, but you've got Lucifer, Satan himself, who is out there causing all this confusion by having over 150 different copyrighted versions of the English Bible, which is the language of the last days.
And we're coming down to the last couple of minutes here, and certainly that makes sense when, of course, you remember that the very first thing that Lucifer did in the Bible was in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1, where he said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." And that's what you see, I think, in a lot of these versions today, "Yea, hath God said." Dr. Stauffer, it's been a pleasure having you on the program today, and we've got to get you back again sometime where we can go through more. I had a list of things that I wanted to touch on. I don't think we even got through a quarter of them. And it's been a great talking with you. It's been exciting hearing some of the information and about this new book. If somebody's listening and they want to find out more, how can they contact you? How can they get your book? How can they learn more about this?
Well, they can go to the internet. You can just search my name, Douglas Stauffer, but my websites are kjv1611.com, which will take you to the BibleDoug.com website. That's BibleDoug.com. Or they can call me toll-free at 866-344-1611. And then one more way is my address, little snail mail type thing. They can go to P.O. Box 1611, Millbrook, Alabama, 36054. And any way that they want to contact me would be fine. I'm very accessible. I just believe that I'm here to minister to others. So I try to put myself out there so that if others are in need, I can assist in some way.
Well, Dr. Stauffer, as I said, I've enjoyed this. We've got to get you back on again sometime to go over some more of this material. We're just out of time here today. And I encourage our listeners to check out the website there and also our website, live.maplenoel.us. I've got some links to Dr. Stauffer's materials. And visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. You can see some of his materials. We've got some of his flyers and things on hand. Dr. Stauffer, I'll contact you again so that we can set up another time. And maybe even a time where you can have callers call in with questions. I think this is a topic that we need to hear about today. but also wanted to let our listeners know that there's a lot more that we could have gotten into, and encourage them to visit your site, BibleDug.com. That's the one that comes to my mind right away. But we're out of time. Join us again Sunday night and next Friday. And God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The following program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding